Just to give a very brief scene setting, flyers have come all across the Sword Coast and the various lands of Faerun, advertising a city on another continent, a place that most people have never heard of, called Camtas. People who follow those flyers find their way through various means, by ship or by teleportation, all the way to the city of Daring Heights. Now, city is what they put in the pamphlets. That is a bit of advertising. It's a town. But it's quite big. It sits atop a hill, in an otherwise quite hilly area, land of grassy valleys, known as the Dawnlands, as we declared it canon a couple months ago. The town is bustling, it's been growing for years now, and it is a place in a new land which most of the denizens barely know. The four of you, however, are almost unique. And I dare say, actually unique.
Yay.
In that not one of you is from Faerun.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Wow.
None of you are actually people who came here to Daring Heights the way everyone else did. You've each come through your own paths. Inside Daring Heights, there is a large tavern towards the center of the city, which was built specifically for the purpose of housing adventurers. Because a new city in a new place needed adventurers to go out and kill things, basically. So a place was set up specifically for you. And it is here we begin our scene. Inside the Tavern of the Three-Headed Etin, Xena is ready to go, as you were contacted a little while ago by Aurelia, one of the leading figures in this town, telling you that the Galavir, the elves you know so well, and have changed the lives of fundamentally with your very presence, and other stuff you did, need your help. And so you are here today to get a party together to go out and see what it is they want.
Oh my goodness, that's a lot of responsibility.
Xena is a very short gnomish lady. She has dark gray skin and also gray but a lot lighter shade hair going all the way down to her feet. She has a lot of decoration in her hair, a lot of silver ribbons and strings and pearls. She likes to accessorize. She's wearing very nice leather outfit, purely black, and her eyes are bright purple. What exactly did Aurelia tell me?
So she is.
I mean, apart from the things that she's really into me and...
Obviously, after Aurelia doubtlessly looked long into your eyes...
Right.
Which didn't actually happen, but you may have thought it did.
Yeah. I remember her stroking my cheek.
It might have been you, but you were doing it while looking at her, and she might have, you know, had a strange expression that might have been interest, enchantment, or kind of creeped out. We'll find out. She had an unusual request from the Galavir.
Mm-hmm.
The Prime Navara has asked for people from Daring Heights to come again. That's all you've really got.
Well, of course I'll go, but how do I convince people to go? Are you paying?
Yes, there is a reward.
From the Council of Daring Heights? Something official. I need something official.
This would be from the Galavir. It's them who are putting out the request. But this isn't a case where we're hiring you out like we are to the war in Kol Garan.
I'll go. So I need to find somebody to go with.
Welcome among
the release.
So it's going to be, what, the third time now that I'm recording a special dedicated to a London-based RPG club. And this one is easy because it's got London in the name. Who are we having this episode about?
We are having the episode about London RPG community today.
Yeah, awesome.
My name is Dasha. I am one of the organizers of London RPG community and a humble DM.
I'm Andy. I'm also one of the DMs here in the London RPG community, having a wonderful time in 5th edition.
My name is Raya. I am from Canada, and I got introduced to the London RPG group through the wonderful, kind players that pointed me in their direction on Twitter.
And I guess we need to introduce you too.
Hi guys, my name is Nunu, and I am the overlord... No, I'm just an organizer for London RPG community. One more.
The traditional question of the Rollist podcast is, we're going to have four answers, going to be interesting. How would you describe, explain, what is a tabletop role-playing game to someone who has absolutely no clue of what it is.
I do this at work every time people ask me, what are you doing on Tuesday night? And I'm like, I go to play D&D. What's that? Well, it is a tabletop role-playing game where you create a character based off of a set of rules and races and such. And you might roll some dice, you might try to do crazy spells, crazy adventures, and it's generally a good time. You have interesting and unique interactions, situations, problems that you need to solve, and you get really attached to these characters that you create, and you might cry if bad things happen to them.
Andy, what is your own take on that?
I always just like to tell people very straightforwardly that if they've ever watched a TV show or a film and they've thought, my goodness, why did they do that? That was so stupid. If I'd been there, I would have done it much better. This is your chance to do that and be those people on adventures and save the day yourself in the way you want to do it.
Dasha?
I describe D&D as collaborative storytelling where a dungeon master sets a scene and players act according to their characters. It's basically problem solving in a group. You work as a team to achieve a goal, which usually a dungeon master sets for you or gives you an opportunity to solve. And yeah, it's really good fun. It's a very multi-skill experience. You get to exercise kind of acting and get your creativity out, let's say, in different ways where you come up with your character and you have to impersonate them for a long period of time. And it's really, really fun. And as Raya said, you do really get attached to them.
RPGs are improv theater crossbred with communal storytelling with rules. As simple as that.
The Cragflame siblings. You have arrived here in Daring Heights from the underground citadel and fortress of Vorsthold. You've come out here to see a bit of the world and to see what's going on. Hearing of this group of elves off to the west? What? They're practically your neighbors. It seems fitting that you might want to investigate this.
Bodar is your regular dwarf, is obviously very short and stout, but there's something almost rotund about him. The way his plate mail is kind of worn out and there's a lot of embossing on it, like he's received a lot of shocks. But the shoulders, his height, he's not wearing an helmet, he's bald. His scalp is really exposed like that. He's got a beard, but it's braided, but not as several braids, but a single braid starting and finishing so that it never gets in the way. You look at him and what you think is bolder. He looks very round like that. And you look at him and you think it would be difficult to move, but he could definitely roll down a hill or something like that. And it would be very difficult to stop. There's something, again, very round in all his features. And he's wearing a round shield. Either when he's wielding it in front of him or keeping it in his back, it's kind of almost matching his overall rotund shape.
Also entering the Etin, I assume, walks a small army of dwarves. Leading the small army is a woman, a female dwarf, stocky in build. Not as much as Bodar, maybe like half the diameter, but stocky for someone that small.
Bodar is all diameter.
Exactly.
You just need the diameter of Bodar and you know everything about him. Or thick, wide, and high is...
Tell me a word that describes your character. Diameter.
Or how about an absolute unit?
Yes. So piercing green eyes, long dark hair, a very ornate circlet on her forehead, wearing black robes with a breastplate in the same style as Bodar's armor, but smaller and simpler. And the four entities behind Thamira also sport this exact same breastplate, and they wear a cape and a dark hood that conceals their features. And they just walk in unison, same step, same pace, behind her.
Finally, Cheryl, bard of note in the town.
I play around. Her skin is sun-kissed and her eyes are piercing topaz blue. Almost kind of have a little natural sparkle to them. You're not sure if that's just because she looks like a fae because she has fairy wings. And these wings are such where you're going, are those real? I don't see how they attach to her. Are they actually her real wings?
You don't know.
And her hair is this beautiful rose and lilac and peaches color. It's kind of shifting and shimmering and absolutely beautiful, long and luscious. Might give a run of money for beautiful hair for you. Who knows? Her outfit is just one of summer. Looks like she's dressed in flowers and bits of fabric here and there, constantly changing colors, pinks and blues and purples. Yeah.
I don't doubt that you will have met Xena at some point. I don't know. It's up to you. I feel like you two would get on.
Boda is close to Temira and elbowing her.
So, what do you think of this place and strangers?
Actually, I am not sure. This seems to be a bit odd, everything here, but it's quaint.
I don't like this place. I don't like these people. I don't know why they're traveling so far like this. I don't want them to show up in numbers in Volstold.
Now, Mother has told us to make friends with the locals and find more people, so let's do exactly that, okay? Stop complaining, for once.
The barkeep leans over from the bar towards you, this fairly simple, plain-looking fellow, just cleaning a glass, almost as if it's just his default state of being.
Look, Tamira, the cleaning the glass, that's despicable. Where does the taste and the...
I'm so sorry. You must be new in town. Give me just a moment. He puts the glass aside and reaches under the counter and pulls out a filthy mug. It's encrusted. You don't think it's ever been cleaned.
Why? You're hiding the good stuff.
Ugh.
We cater for everyone here at the Three-Headed Etin. But you look like two people who look like you're restless, in need of a bit of adventure, bit of ale, and then some adventure.
What kind of ale do you have here? We like them in Volstolz, tasting very mineral.
Ah, you'll be looking for the quartz stout, then.
That would be a cold stout, then.
Excellent.
Do you have any wine?
Of course.
Thank you.
Gets you both a drink. One is as gravelly as the glass it's served in, and the other one is as smooth as the glass it's served in.
Perfect.
What about your friends? Will they want anything?
Oh, no, they are fine.
Okay. Everyone needs a bodyguard, I suppose.
That's a good one.
Yes. If you're looking for something to occupy your time, maybe see a bit of the world as you seem to be exploring. I believe our young gnome over here, Xena, is looking for people who might be as capable as yourselves.
Sitting on the other side of the bar will say, Cole, are you going to bring me my margarita at some point?
I literally have to summon the limes. But we're getting there. We'll be with you in just a moment. I'm so sorry.
I got some limestone here if you want. Is that what you're after?
Nearly. I like your enthusiasm, though. You could work bar here one day.
See?
With that kind of initiative.
I can't make friends.
That is actually surprising. I was not expecting you to bond with these people. Okay.
Well, look at those glass. They're proper dusty. Not dirty or wet. Dusty.
I already told you, that's only what they do in the barracks. If you go to the university where they teach magic, that does not happen. They clean the glasses. I told you this on several occasions.
Xena will stand up on the bar, which brings you just about the level of eyes of Cole, the bartender,
yeah,
and walk across a couple of stools towards you and addressing the mirror. Hi, did you say magic?
Yes.
What kind of magic? Do you do magic? Do you like magic?
Oh, the arcane kind of magic.
What's that?
What?
What?
I don't understand your question.
I don't understand your answer.
Look at those learned people of magic. They cannot even speak with one another.
Anyway, I like your drink. What's that?
This is just a normal glass of wine. I have not tasted it yet. I'm not sure if it's good.
It's all right. It's good, like, 10-pound bottle, you know?
Oh.
Would you have a sip of my cold stout then?
I think I'm all right. I'm waiting for a margarita. Have you ever tried a margarita?
No, what is this?
A margarita has slid across to you at last.
Finally. Oh, thanks, Cole.
It's got minerals on the edge. I like that.
Well, that's how you drink it, and Xena shows.
I know, right? Told you. She's got salt minerals on the edge of her glass. That's sea proper dusty.
I don't understand how alcohol combines with salt, but sure.
Cheryl, in all of this, you know, it's kind of early in the middle of the day, about 11, which is, of course, why a margarita is happening. Cole encourages early drinking. It's good for business.
Yeah.
Of course, here to play a set. you may have, you know, heard a little bit about what's going on. It's just coming to the end of your set, and you've just been off in the corner playing. Mm-hmm. Sadly, there aren't many people here, and most of the people who are here are around a bar having some kind of talk. But, you know, it's exposure, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. I play lighter stuff for the day, right? I get into the more rock and roll and heavy metal in the evening.
I believe it.
She would be sitting with a knee up. She has a harp. She holds it very tenderly and dearly. You know instantly it's her favorite thing in the entire world. She's lightly plucking a tune, maybe working on a new song, maybe refining one, you're not entirely sure. She's just looking at you, kind of going, Hops down, goes over to the bar. Can I have some fey wine, please?
Absolutely. Actually, could you also give me a brief performance check?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
That would be a 12.
You were working on some stuff. You were just playing through some various songs. May not have been your best effort, but also no. There was literally no one here.
Yeah.
So you were free to just kind of play around. Cole goes, oh, of course. Says, oh, don't worry. I'll put that on your tap. Don't worry.
Thank you.
Cole, you had fey wine this whole time and you didn't tell me?
You may assume that this bar is fully stocked, Xena.
Sorry, do you know what arcane magic is?
Yes.
Thank you. Can you explain this lovely lady here what arcane magic is?
Oh, well, she puts her glass down. Well, there's so many different kinds, right?
So start with the book.
Like this, and I take a little book from my bag, which is very tiny, even for Xena's tiny hand. It's completely black, and it has a big black jewel on top of it.
Depends on what it has inside.
No, don't touch it.
I was not going to touch it. I'm
going to reach my back, and you hear an unstrap, and then a book 40 centimeters in height on top of the counter. No, like this. Flick through pages showing spells and incantations and rituals.
That looks nothing like my little book. I put mine away as well.
I mean, this is my book, and then I just pluck a nice little tune on my harp. If you consider my harp a book?
Are you a bard?
I mean, what gave it away?
You are talking to a magical bard, you fool Tamira. That's ridiculous.
That is kind of silly, yes. I didn't realize. Sorry.
Silly. Why is that funny?
Are you pop out a slug out of your hat? Go on, do a trick.
A slug?
I'm good in Scottish, and I.
Yes.
I mean, I don't generally have a slug in my bag or on my person, but I...
Oh, what's your trick? What do you do then?
I play music, I can sing, I can dance, I can do a lot of things.
Yeah, this one doesn't do magic. A good one.
It's nice.
Do you have anything against music?
No, we love music. It's very important. It tells the stories of the fallen, of the hero.
Yeah.
It helps remember the exploits of the great ones.
It does.
Who walked before us and now went back to the stone of Vorthold.
Xena and Cheryl, both give me perception checks.
Ooh, I'm going to try this dice instead. 11.
12.
Nice. There are four other people in the room who have not said anything. But, you know, whatever. That's not weird.
It is very interesting and entertaining, the things you and people like you do. I like it very much, but could be a little bit more useful.
I mean, can you heal yourself if you get hurt?
Yes.
Yeah, we can. Takes a while, but, yeah.
I can heal you with a word. I can make your head want to scream because say some words that don't necessarily sound so good.
I love that song. I can heal you with a word. I've heard it a couple times.
I can heal myself by draining the life off of other people.
Oh, I can do that too. Oh,
there you go.
That's awesome. Oh.
So you are an arcane practitioner after all.
Maybe. Well, I just do what the book says.
But you read it and you...
Kind of.
So we're here to try and find more about other civilizations of the land. In Vorsthold, we've made contact with some people from Daring Heights, and we're trying to find if there's more out there. Maybe you can help us?
I'm literally, going to this elf tribe, today.
Oh, where?
It's a bit far. You have to go through this mountain that I once crashed, and then you end up at this really nice lake where a lot of people live, and they're really handsome and cute, and they're all elves.
Oh, tall
yeah,
people.
That's like a winner.
I mean, everyone's taller than me most of the time.
Yeah, same. So I'm going there today because my, well, we didn't really define it yet, but my friend Aurelia told me that, well, she like works here. She's important. She said that people there are looking for help. And because I know them already, they're looking for me specifically. Can you imagine? I mean, I'm not surprised, but...
Oh, you got a reputation.
And... Yeah, I mean, I went there once and like we changed their entire way of life. So I think they remember
change?
Us.
Change? Mm-hmm. You changed them?
Yeah, they used to not sleep. And now they do. I think that's that's what it was. Which is, I don't see what's wrong with not sleeping because I don't sleep either.
Well, I sleep, but I don't mind other people's business. If they don't want to sleep and it's their ways, I would not change it.
I think they didn't sleep and they didn't like it. They like wanted to try and sleep, but they couldn't. And there was a really ugly hag.
Oh.
Yeah, so we drove the hag away. And then the people were super, super nice to us. And I stayed there for a while learning about them. So that was fun.
So that's why they called you back,
yes.
I guess.
Yeah, I'm a hero.
You need people to go with you now and help? I mean...
Do you want to come?
Bodar, what do you think?
Well, I haven't met much people who could appreciate minerals like this one. So, why not?
Whatever does it for you, hon.
Okay.
I'd be happy to go somewhere that's not at war with giants now.
I think you should come with us. It would be great.
But I...
This one would be very useful because she could document what we're doing and then sing about it.
And you have some entertainment.
I mean, it might not seem like much, but I think it matters a lot.
I just want to make sure that you understand that I am the hero of the mission and I'm bringing people
to her. Of course, we're just your supporting cast.
I mean, you don't have to believe it, but I just want to keep my face in front of the tribe.
I totally believe you. You will be in the front all the time.
Yeah, because it's really important.
Don't worry.
Because my ex lives there and I really like don't want to seem like, you know, I'm not over him yet.
What?
Do you have an axe?
An axe? No, I got my hammer.
No, someone that you were in love with, but things didn't work out. And so they're ex lover, not an axe lover. That's
you.
Little.
Yeah.
My love goes to Barona True Silver. It's my goddess. And it's working out pretty well.
So this might happen many times along the journey, so be aware.
I'm totally into it. Okay. What's your goddess look like?
She's the most beautiful thing. Her figure is like hewed on the toughest rock you could find.
You speak with such passion about her.
Please don't encourage this.
Listen, there are all kinds of love in this world and realms.
Yeah, that's
all kinds.
Her hair are matted on her back like... the lines of a precious ore running through the stratas that you can find on the wall of Vorstold.
What was your very first experience of this communal shared storytelling improvised?
Funny enough, my first encounter with role-playing games was through a show that Will Wheaton GM'd on YouTube called Ashes of Volcana, I think. Yeah, I just realized this sounds like super fun. And then I started investigating a little bit more. I found about Critical Role. I watched some episodes and then I decided, you know what? I want to do this. And I just started GMing out from the bat. Run my first game as a GM for my friends, and ever since, haven't stopped. Here I am.
Well, why did you watch that show in the first place?
Literally, it was random. It was YouTube algorithm suggesting it to me, and I guess it did it work because I loved it.
Dasha, what was your very first experience of role-playing games, and who did you play with?
My first ever experience of RPG was... a D&D game, like for many. Dungeons & Dragons is the most common choice as a first experience. And I was invited by a friend, Nunu, and I. We've been friends for a long time. And he invited me to a game that he was running. Yeah, that was my first introduction. And his selling point was to tell me that it's similar to Lord of the Rings. And I love Lord of the Rings. So I was like, yeah, I could try that.
And from the first time I played, I really loved it. And I loved the idea of impersonating someone. And then a couple of games later, I came to join London RPG community. And I've been here ever since, from my first time to becoming DM and admin. And it's been a great, crazy time, yeah.
So Andy, tell me about your first.
I can tell you all about it. It was in Brazil. The day was sunny. I was looking out over Ipanema Beach, across the whole thing, in this wonderful apartment. All of us laid out along couches. It was because my friend had got the third edition D&D handbook and had been like, we should play this. What should we do? And it fell to me naturally to be the DM. Wrote a whole campaign. We played a game of it. It was marvelous. Loved it.
So you got the book, but nobody had a clue what it was.
Correct. Well, I guess they knew roughly, knew of it. I'd even created a little RPG even before then, just for my friend and I on like a road trip. But that was my first real experience, was playing my friend's apartment.
What did you knew about it before then?
I honestly don't know. Just like cultural osmosis. I just absorbed it. I knew roughly what was going on. It's the thing about, especially with D&D, because it's that core fantasy bit. Elf, dwarf, you know what's going on. It's Lord of the Rings. You've seen it. And so, yeah, played in this lovely apartment, which made trying to explain that we were in a dark dungeon very difficult. But it was great.
Especially with the people playing Brazilian music outside and the men and women in bikinis dancing around. It's like, geez, we're trying to roleplay here. Thank you.
Please hide your nipple tassels.
So Raya, how was the osmosis going on for you?
I first came across D&D because a friend local to here, who eventually actually moved out to Canada for 2 years, basically did what I am doing now, but over in Canada. She told me about her D&D games, and I was like, that sounds like so much fun. I've never played, but I've always wanted to. Do you think maybe we could try playing a game once you're out here? And then, as it turns out, a guy that I knew from university and took classes with has played D&D for years and is a dungeon master. And so we started our own homebrew based in 5th edition. It's because 5th edition was a very easy one to get into for first timers, right? So I created my first character. She's a tiefling ranger, and I love her to bits, and she's still off adventuring and finding out just exactly what her mother did to her family. Spoiler alert, she basically summoned angels to kill them. It was great, and, so that storyline is still going on, but I wanted to keep playing D&D when I moved here. And I did a call out to Twitter being like, okay, someone must know a community or something, a table I can join, because it's driving me nuts not playing. Because I really love the role-playing, the acting side of it. And that's how I got pointed to these guys.
Oh, I'm disappointed. I thought you were about to say, and that's how you found out about the Rollist podcast. But
I mean, when fine, I went I to Drinks and Dice, or Dices and Drinkses, and
I founded that.
Yeah, exactly. That's where I actually met you as well the first time. So it was like I met both of you guys at the same, both groups at the same time. So, no, it's true though.
You head out of Daring Heights and start along the western road that leads off towards the approaching range of the Sunset Spine Mountains. They stretch all the way north and south as far as you can see, but just along that far distant horizon. Bodar continues this as you set off from Daring Heights.
Her lips taste like salt.
Oh, and that's why love minerals right. So much. Okay, that makes sense.
Zina?
It's part of the induction, you kiss. A statue of her.
This is why I said you might be listening to more of this on the road, because I've been listening to this since I'm very small.
You wouldn't believe it, but we used to be very close siblings. People couldn't tell us apart.
And now?
And then she read all these books and went straight to the real city, and she keeps talking about the outside world.
Anyway, changing subject, would you mind if...
Moving away from traditions.
If Thelonious, Yarkvar, Ragnar, and Keros came with us?
So who are they?
Oh, they're just my bodyguards.
Can I see their faces?
No.
Why not?
Because they are very shy.
Can I insight check them?
Yes. Make me a deception.
11, insight check.
Yeah, something's up.
Look, you think like someone who's got her feet on the ground, but the truth is, from experience, people around here, they usually don't like it when all friends show their face. So, I wouldn't. Maybe we can introduce you to each of them. They all have a story to be told about them.
That is true, but...
They live a long and good life.
Only if you promise I get to hear about their story.
Well, I cannot promise that you hear about their stories, but I can promise you can interact with them.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay.
All right.
The road continues along the smoothest course possible amongst the various hills and valleys of the Dawnlands. You pass farmlands. There's a whole valley that, Xena, you might well know, that's called the Coldshaw Valley to the south, where adventurers fought and died to clear the land.
I'm tired.
Also, you are also quite short, so you have about twice as far to go.
I'm really tired.
Already? Well, we just get it started.
Can you make fire? It's also cold.
I mean, I can. Nice. Do you have a torch?
Yeah.
I cast Prestidigitation on it.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, nice trick.
Thank you.
Shinda Tevira.
I curtsy and that's some entertaining. Notes play as I do.
That was very nice.
That
I learned to
fun.
Do this when I was 5 years old.
It really looked like she really did it.
It's because I really did do it.
Yeah, of course.
Looked genuine, yes.
Yeah,
but as I said, this is something I learned when I was 5 years old.
Stop bragging.
Prestidigitation as well. Mimicking the same effect.
The more fire, the better, because I'm getting really cold. Maybe we should stop and camp for the night? What do you think?
We can stop. It's okay. Do we want some place to rest?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, just give me 10 minutes and we can have a cozy place to rest instead.
Where?
What are you going to do?
Here. Take my book
this
out.
In the middle of a valley?
Start etching runes in the dirt.
I watch closely what you're doing.
I also watch. Yeah. But also start talking to you a little bit more about your goddess because I'm making notes. Maybe planning a song.
11 minutes later, black energy emanates from the runes and a black dome solidifies around us.
Oh! Can we see through it into the outside?
Yeah. Take a step outside.
I do so.
You can't see inside.
That is so cool!
Why is she yelling? Why is she yelling outside? Can you see me? Hi!
No! I can't see. It's just black. Not my shade of choice, really. If I was doing this, I would probably make it nice and lilac and pretty and maybe a little bit of sunshine look over here, but... It's pretty good.
I like
You've
black.
You've learned something, I guess. Can you teach me?
Can teach me?
I don't think I can teach you, dear, but you maybe.
Okay. I would like that.
You traveled across the day and you got most of the way to the mountains by this point. So when you stop to rest, the mountains are huge in your vision now. You're a couple of miles away. Xena, you know the way. From here in the morning, you're probably going to turn off, head south into the mountains, and probably by about noon tomorrow, you'll be at the Valley of the Galavir. But for now, you have a nice little black dome.
I'll instruct Thelonious, Yargvar, Ragnos, and Keros to go outside and have a bit of a guarding session.
I'll give Cheryl and Xena one more perception check, just for over the course of the day. Will you have figured this out?
2.
No.
14.
I think over the course of the day, you've picked up what's going on here. These are zombies.
So, Tamira?
Yes?
I like the idea how Boda and Tamira are just completely chill and oblivious of the living dead in death.
Question.
Yes?
Your bodyguards aren't alive, are they? And not in the way that you and I are?
Yes, what I was going to say depends on the point of view, but, no.
You have them under control, right?
Yes.
They're not going to turn on us?
Oh, actually, that reminds me, as you're asking this, I just literally take a small vial out of one of my many pockets, drip a drop of blood from the vial in my palm, and then some grinded bone on top of it, and then just trace a sigil on it that starts glowing with black energy, and... disappears, and you see the eyes underneath the hoods flare once,
I cast Animate Dead to reassert control on the four of them. Yes, now they are again.
Okay, that's good.
In Vorsthold, the practice of necromancy is an honored tradition.
Okay, yeah.
It is essentially the other half to your duties to heal people. When people go beyond your help, then the necromancers can step in and with duty and with honor restore them to a semblance of life to let them serve on in the defense of their homeland.
I picture them being sort of dry, though. You know, not the kind of wet, full of guts zombies, more like mummies, very dry.
Yeah, because it's not done on the spot. It's like a process of doing it properly.
Again, very mineral almost.
Very mineral, no smells.
They only keep the good stuff.
Yeah, pretty much. I guess that would be the rationale behind it. When warriors prove themselves in battle and fall beyond any help, then they are given a second chance to serve the Citadel.
I think when you cast your ritual, Bodar is actually very proud.
Oh.
Aww. I gave her wild ideas to go study, but we're very proud in the family to have a master of the art among us.
Okay.
That's my sister.
Aw. Not always annoying.
And I hug her girl.
Okay. Wipe the rest of the blood and bone on my tunic.
Oh, no.
It's important to keep your siblings close. I'm glad that you two still have such a wonderful relationship.
Are you right? Family matters. You should stay close to your own and stick together always. Don't stray away.
I look at the mirror like...
I don't have any family. Who should I stick too close to?
Oh, that's horrible, you poor little thing.
Yeah, they're not great.
Family can be whatever you want it to be. Could be people that you end up finding when you're needing help and they lend that helping hand. They become your family. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I do have a special someone. Just saying.
Little Zina, family you cannot choose, but friends are family you get to choose.
How about lover?
Well, that's a bit different, isn't it? But we can talk about that later.
Okay.
It's pretty clear that the four of you have plenty of different topics you can talk about over the course of the day and the night, which is phenomenal. You've got deities, you've got Vorsthold culture, you've got necromancy now that's kind of come to light as to what's exactly going on here with these four people who said nothing all day.
We know so much of that has been edited out of this episode. So, who here is the best person to tell me about what is London RPG community? A lot of fingers wagging.
Yeah, sure. A lot of fingers pointing at me, I think, because other people are eating. London RPG community is a gaming club. We operate via meetup.com, which is a website through which you can organize events. And we have a variety of games that we offer. We have a large D&D campaign, large D&D shared campaign where people can come and go. We have 8 DMs and about 50 active players in the same campaign. It's called The Cantor's Expanse, and Andy here is one of the founders, and Nunu and I are both DMs in the campaign. And yeah, so we play that. That's our maybe half of the entire club. The other parts include Systems Check, where we run one-shots of different RPG systems for people to try and get into, because most people come to RPG through D&D, but we like to offer a variety. Yeah, I know how you feel about it, but that's what is the most mainstream RPG is. So we try to offer and push people into a variety of different RPGs, and Jonathan, who is another organizer of the meetup, founded this initiative, and it's been going really well, offering a variety of RPGs like Star Wars that you're running with us. We have run Alien, Tales of the Loop,
13 Age, Mothership,
Call of Cthulhu, so many. So that's half of our meetup, and then that's kind of the main thing we do. We are branching out into a bit more things, like organizing events. We collaborated with you to organize Blue Drinks and Dice, monthly social event, and taking part in any kind of event that requires people to play role-playing games, including the D&D for Mental Health that we're organizing together.
That's basically all said and done. We're starting something new now, which is calling out for people to suggest games for us to run, even if they're like in development, if they just decided to design a game by themselves and want someone to test it for them, We're open to several kinds of things. Currently, we're based on Tuesdays and Thursdays. We run Tuesdays at the moment at Bad Moon Cafe near London Bridge. And Thursdays, we run in East London, so Limehouse. We also have a smaller venue on Tuesdays near King's Cross. It's not our biggest bulk, but it's going well. And we're currently having a lot of people interested in joining our community and very happy about it. So we're exploring options of growth. Let's leave it at that.
Yeah, some people might have sent addresses so recently. Does that match your experience?
Yeah, it does. It was pretty easy to start out with the group, actually, because the DMs, or the GMs, rather, are very helpful for new people to join. They get you signed up for your first D&D session, and after that, joining the Discord and joining the Cantus Expanse forum board, because that's where the rumors and where you sign up. It's also very interactive on there as well, because you get to do post-session write-ups. And even with my homebrew campaign back at home, I like to do a lot of creative writing with it, but because there's basically every week there's downtime, I can insert a lot of creative writing for my character a lot easier, which I kind of like that a bit more, because, and we're interacting with new characters every week, or different groups of characters every week. It's never quite the same. It's really different. In a good way.
That would be interesting. So these listeners, at this point, they probably heard the first part of it. There's going to be an actual play with you, or with everyone around this table. So it would be interesting for them to go check your write-up of that session on the forum. I will have to put a link.
The next morning, as the night passes completely without event, you turn off and head towards the tribe of the Galavir. And by noon the next day, you come up to that ridge in the mountains that looks down into this beautiful valley. There are rows of buildings, all made of this grey slabs of stone, almost like each one is built out of five slabs with the roof, all just kind of slotted together. It's quite simply constructed, but all very efficient. There's ivy and vines covering much of the town, but the part of it which is closest to the large, glimmering, strangely glistening lake at the far end of the valley is the most well-tended. You can see the signs of life there. And indeed, you can see the signs of life coming to you at great speed is a group of about six. They're probably elves, because it's a place of elves, running towards you up the hill. Three of them are armed with great clubs, and three of them aren't carrying any weapons at all, but none of them are wearing any armor of any kind.
Look, they're running to welcome me.
Well, it's much better than what I expected. Those slab architecture is kind of basic, but at least it looks like they picked the right cut.
I'm going to start waving.
Two of them, as they're running up, do wave back. And the six of them come to a halt in front of the group of you.
Do I recognize any of them?
Oh, you do.
I give you a little nudge forward.
I step forward.
Yeah.
You were right, you know, about... what did you call that? When you got ideas about people and they turned out to be right. I thought those would live in trees.
Yes, I told you, do not make assumptions out of people. Just because they're elves doesn't mean they don't like stones.
Good.
Hi,
good
guys.
To find out.
Several of the elves walk forward and they are smiling. Welcome, Xena. It's so good to have you back.
Thank you.
We were advised by the Prime that you would be likely to return. We don't know your companions, but...
Okay, so these are my friends.
Do you vouch for them?
Oh, yeah, sure. so she's got really cool guards just standing there. They're a bit quiet, but don't worry. They're nice. And I point at Cheryl. She can do music and stuff. You like that, right? You like music?
We love music.
There you go.
It's not our usual, sure. Okay.
This guy likes rocks.
I am Bodar, servant of Parana through Silver, goddess of redemption.
Bodar kneels, and when he kneels... For a second, you think you would mistaken him in mountains for an actual boulder lying somewhere.
It's a very nice constriction you got over there.
I think these two have never seen elves before, so it might be a bit awkward.
Oh, really? I was in Sunning Cities in, what do you call it, this place?
Daring Heights.
Yeah, it's a mess, but there were a few elves there.
You are, in fact, dwarves, is that right?
Move forward, put my hand
on... We come from Vorstold.
...fold our shoulder and say... Yes, we are emissaries from Vorstold. I don't know if you have heard of this...
No.
...citadel. Okay.
It's a proud fortress.
It's a proud fortress. Good. There you go.
Let's Marvelous. Leave it at that then.
Okay. Right, so dwarves.
Dwarves.
Huh.
Well, basically, they are my crew, and I'm coming because Prime Navarra personally summoned me. That's what happened. That's totally what happened.
I have no doubt. There is one figure, by the way, Xena, who is with the group, wasn't one of the few who stepped forward, who you definitely recognize, as it is indeed Harlech.
I will pretend I don't see him.
He is doing very much the same.
How does he look?
Stunning.
Oh, do I notice that?
Make me a insight.
21.
Yes, you read all of that. Harlech is definitely, you know, kind of interested and looks at the three of you and seems to be making a bit of a show of having his arms fold just to make the muscles all be a little bit more pronounced as he's looking away from Xena. Occasionally stretches.
So where is this X of yours?
I think you mean a hammer.
Is it a hammer now?
Yeah, it's a hammer. You got it.
Yeah, I got one.
Okay, let's go.
Make me a perception check.
Ooh, 17.
You hear one of the elves in the back nudge one of the taller males and say something, but you catch it, but it's in elvish, so you don't actually understand it.
Do I hear it?
Maybe perception check. Let's find out.
17.
One of them nudges Harlech and just mutters under their breath, apparently you were called a hammer now.
Ouch!
And
I pay no attention to that whatsoever.
Excellent. Well, they kind of clasp their hands together, the ones who were addressing you, and say, please, all eight of you do come along. We will get you to speak to Prime Navarra.
Yeah. You guys, don't worry.
Walk down the hill.
They're going to give us the best welcome ever.
Absolutely. And you almost get that. Everywhere you go in this town, as you're led through towards Prime Navarra, you see people turn and see you all, and they kind of smile and wave, or they turn and they look interested in you. Anyone you see, Xena, they kind of wave, because everyone knows you at this point. It's not that big of a village. There looks to be maybe a few hundred people here.
And I parted here hard.
Yup. Extensively. Could all four of you give me an insight check?
Ooh.
11.
19.
2 minus 1. 1.
Perfect.
17.
Excellent. Okay, so the dwarves, this is all new to you. You're busy. Bodar, obviously, you've got this construction to marvel at. It's really interesting how they actually managed to construct these buildings, because they're solid slabs of stone. They're not bricks or anything. They've been here for ages, though. They look like they were built centuries ago.
I will get on in a conversation with someone.
You see, I'm a mason myself.
They are fascinated. Both Cheryl and Xena, you will note that people tend to look, turn, kind of be like, oh, hi. And then they always kind of catch themselves. They just look a little guarded, a little worried. Like a moment of worry crosses a lot of people's eyes when they see you.
But not as first reaction.
Not as a first reaction. First reaction is always, hey, great. And then people tend to just, the moment they've had a chance to think, they get a little worried.
Oh my God, what's gotten into their heads now?
You are ushered by this group of elves to the House of Meeting, which is one of the larger buildings, but they all look roughly the same, to be honest. You are ushered into a large room with a woven matted floor. There are five people sitting in a row of kind of wicker chairs in the front. One of them, in the center, is wearing these long white robes, and she's, you know, holding this staff. Flanking her are four other elves, who all look in kind of a little bit more finery than everyone else. They look in authority. The central figure stands up as you enter. Welcome to you all. Welcome, Xena. Thank you so much for answering my summon. And with new companions, I don't believe we've met. I am Prime Navarra. I am the leader of this tribe, and these are my seconds.
Is this your war council?
We try to avoid war, but if there was a war, I suppose we would be that council.
Oh, good, good.
I send a message to Bodar saying, yeah, they don't really fight that well. I know.
Thank you all for coming. Please do have a seat. There are some stools laid out for each of you. I'd like to just explain what's going on here. As some of you are new, you may not have the full context, though I'm sure Xena's filled you in on most of it.
Yeah. I give a little look to Xena, like...
Same.
What? I'm like... I just shrug, because Xena genuinely doesn't remember a lot of things.
Oh, I know. The summary you gave earlier was magnificently inaccurate. it was beautiful.
This episode included Better Way, Home Road, Great Expectations, and Sentinel by Kai Engel. And of course our theme song, Solta o Frango by Bonded Oro. All these songs are available for free on the Free Music Archive. This episode also included several ambience, Quiet Tavern, Daytime Forest, Woodland Waterfall, Evening Forest, and The Underdark, all by Sword Coast Soundscapes, and you can find them all on YouTube to use in your own games of Dungeons & Dragons or any tabletop role-playing game you wish to. Our logo is designed by Rolling Curtains. You can find it on different apparels, in mugs, notebooks, on our Tee Public store, and I just added a couple new designs. Yeah, it was a request from Persephilia. She wanted a t-shirt saying, all is fun and games until someone fails a saving throw. Well, I made my own take on that little motto, and you can find it on our Tee Public store. Myself and everyone you heard in this episode from the London RPG community will be at Dragon Meet on Saturday, November 30th in London, Hammersmith. That would be awesome to have you come play games with them. They will be running games alongside the Roleplay Heaven and other game masters. And you can also come see me at the Podcast Zone. And on top of being at the Podcast Zone and recording people visiting me there, I should also record 4D Rollist Present 2 live panels. After D&D for Mental Health, I'm very proud to do more of these. That's really cool, and I really look forward to it and to share their content with you here on this podcast feed. Recording things like that would not have been possible without the equipment, which I was able to purchase thanks to the support I'm receiving from listeners like you via Patreon. Even just a single pound per month means the world to me. I mean, it's really helpful. It's heartwarming to know that you're there and you are behind the show. You support it. When I spend evenings editing shows like this one, it really means the world for me. And if you cannot afford, I mean, it's fine. You can also support through telling about the show any way you can to anyone you can, and to leave reviews on iTunes, Podchaser, or Stitcher. So that's it. I really look forward to meeting, I hope, many of you at Dragon Meet. That would be awesome. I should be more available than the other years because this time I'm not organizing, so I can lay back and enjoy the convention like everyone else. And I've heard that the Dragon Meet podcast zone has been expanded, so we're going to have more space, should be more comfortable, should be cooler. I mean, there should be a larger trade hall also if you want to buy games, larger gaming hall if you want to play games, everything you need, you want as a role player. You can find it at Dragon Meet on November 30th. So, see you there, and in the meantime, have good games! Inteligente, a gente somos o trio mais foda, a gente somos delinquente. Alegria da moçada, da perua favelada, nosso som é fantasia pra mamãe, vovó, titia. Rolê, 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 solta o frango e vem com a gente. Rolê, 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 solta o frango e vem com a gente. Nós é tipo bem Jesus, todo mundo a gente ama. Ainda mais se for gatinha, rola até levar pra cama. A gente topa tudo, sapatão e bigodudo. Na hora do piriri, cai em mim ou travesti.
Vai, batuque!
Rolê, 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 solta o frango e vem com a gente. Rolê, rolê, Holy Soto Freddy Benguazé.
Oh, man. Anyway. So you put that in post credit.
Yeah.
So just promise me you'll never put anything I ever said in post credit.
I think what's happening right now. Okay, let's play.
Yes.
Yay.